to sell. Even though love hurt you the most, was human like yourself.
Is everyone ready? No. What do you mean, no? Fine, then we'll start without you. Places, people. Yes, go to your places right now. All right, here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh no. This is a movie intro, not a radio intro. Oh well. You're listening to WONY Oneonta 90.9 FM. Don't forget to keep it live.
Attention. 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 Doctors Without Borders needs your help. The organization gives assistance to populations in distress. Natural and man-made disaster victims, and armed conflict victims. They've treated millions of people since 1971. Volunteers undergo great risk and danger in order to provide this life-saving medical care. About 90% of funding to keep these missions going comes from people like you.
Doctor, I'm so glad we found you.
Please visit donate.doctorswithoutborders.org to make a donation so Doctors Without Borders can continue their commitment to saving lives.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here's some events to look forward to this week. On Monday, November 10th, join the Counseling Center for Coffee with the Counseling Center, happening from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. in Hunt Union by reception.
On Monday, November 10th, from 9 to 10 at the Waterfront, go see Chuck's Comedy Club with Kenny Mock.
On Tuesday from 3 to 4 p.m., join SUNY Oneonta for a Veterans Day celebration in the Waterfront in Hunt Union.
On Tuesday, November 11th from 5:30 to 7:30, join the SUNY Oneonta Badminton Club for a badminton singles tournament in which the winner can get a $50 Amazon gift card.
Also happening on Tuesday, join SUNY Oneonta for the Red Dragon Reading Series in the Martin Mullen Gallery in the Fine Arts Building. This will be happening from 7 to 9 p.m. As always, join Activities Council for Trivia Tuesday, happening from 9 to 10 p.m. in the Red Dragon Theater.
On Wednesday, November 12th, from 5:30 to 7, join women's basketball as they take on Hartwick at Dewar Arena. And right after, stay to watch men's basketball also take on Hartwick from 7:30 to 9 in Dewar Arena.
On Thursday, check out the book drive from 2:30 to 5 p.m. in the Fitzell Lobby.
On Thursday, November 13th, from 6:30 to 8, join Hooked on Tonics for their coffee house, $4 entry fee at the door, in the Hunt Union Water Room.
Also happening on Thursday, go see the Mask and Hammer Theater Club's production of Scampino, happening from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. in the Goodrich Theater. Find tickets online on Campus Connection. On Friday, join OK Crew for their K-pop dance workshop. This will be happening from 4 to 5 p.m. in Fine Arts 103.
On Friday, November 14th, from 6 to 7:30, join the Physics and Astronomy Club for a public observing at the SUNY Oneonta Observatory happening at College Camp.
Also happening on Friday is Mask and Hammer Club's production of Scapino, happening from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. in the Goodrich Theater.
On Saturday, November 15th, from 7 to 9 at Dewar Arena, come watch men's basketball as they take on Wheaton College from Massachusetts.
On Saturday from 8 to 10:15, join Activities Council for their showing of Saturday Soundscape, Madonna Sticky and Sweet Tour from 2015. This will be happening in the Red Dragon Theater. Lastly, on Sunday, make sure you check out Mask and Hammer's production of Scapino, happening from 2 to 5 p.m. in the Goodrich Theater. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. For more information about these events, check out Campus Connections. Have a great week and keep it locked, everyone.
Hey, everyone, this is DJ Nusfer Mark II. DJ Nusfer Mark II. Episode, I don't even know, 70-something, late 70s. It's a good age. We're here with Todd Evans. Say hello, Todd.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
There we go. You're coming through. Can you hear yourself in there?
Yep.
Okay, great. My car battery, once again, died. It dies on clockwork every 3 days now. So it's part of my normal routine, and I call somebody else different to come and jump me every 3 days, which is awesome.
Nice.
But we're going to get that fixed up in a second. I'm going to start everybody this morning. We're going to do Heavy Metal Monday.
I would call
it Heavy Metal Monday right now. I'm just going to get everybody started with some Sabbath while I get the studio and our tracks in order, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes to spin some awesome heavy stuff for you to wake everybody up on Monday.
Reflex in the sky, warning.
All right, we're back now. We're actually here. Everything's fine. We're all fine here.
Totally.
How are you? Todd Evans, who also works at SUNY Oneonta. Todd, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do here.
Well, I work in the IT department. I am I'm the assistant director for the Enterprise Application Services Group.
All right.
If you've got a problem with Banner, don't talk to us.
That's right. Good call. And on your free time, I've known you for quite a long time. Met you through Rob Lipari years ago. On your free time and schooling, right? Were you Berkeley?
I graduated from Berkeley back in the 90s. And on my free time, I know where you're going. I'm basically trying to become a shred master.
Yeah, that's right. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's been a long journey, and I haven't made it. And it's been like 40 years, so we'll see.
I don't think any of us have made it.
No. Well, I think Paul Gilbert pretty much made it.
Yeah, he did. Well, in Japan, at least. And you have some Kiesels, right? How many Kiesels do you have?
More than I care to mention.
Yeah, all right, rock on.
So, I picked up a 7-string. I think you told me about this. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, I have a couple students that love those things. For those of you who don't know, Kiesel is the new Carvin.
Yes.
Yes, and they're awesome guitars. They're super, super fun to play. Super shreddy. So Todd came up and brought some albums, going to play a couple tunes off of these and stuff that I don't have, which is awesome. So tell us about the first band and the first track we're going to listen to here.
All right. The first track is called Just a Cigarette. It's by a band called Decapitated. They are out of Poland, and yeah, I caught them down at the Warsaw last fall.
Okay.
In New York City.
Yep.
And it was fantastic. Oh, my God. And fought my way to the front row and clung on for dear life as long as I could.
That's right. And they're awesome live.
Oh, my God. They're great.
Cool.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Here's Decapitated. Just a Cigarette?
Just a Cigarette.
Just a Cigarette. I'm a virgin listener to this, so I'm prepared to be blown away by the awesomeness.
Decapitated. We'll be right back.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm up. I'm up. This is what I shall play my son when he refuses to get out of bed in the morning from on. That was pretty intense. I learned a few things about Decapitated just when we were listening to that song. Pretty interesting. They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, they have.
Quite a long time. And Todd has also seen them live, said they're awesome. So I trust his judgment on this. If you get a chance to go see this band, I highly recommend it if you're into this this kind of music. And it's,
what would you call that music?
I would call it thrash, but I don't know. It's very interesting to me, so I don't... There are so many subgenres now with these particular names, with all of this stuff. So when I hear something like this, my interpretation of thrash, or and also part of what I kind of lumped together as death metal, has to generally do with the following things. Number one, some really aggressive double kick and right hand guitar movements, that kind of thing, right? Yeah, so that has to be in there, thrashy death metal kind of stuff, right?
Yep.
Two, some kind of that kind of thing going on, whatever you call that, the growl singing.
My wife coined a great term for it.
What is it?
Vomit vocal.
Vomit vocal. Okay, so number
can we
two.
Say that?
Yeah, we can say vomit vocal. Yeah, there's a list of things right there in that red book you should look that we can say or can't say online and this or online on air online whatever. You can say whatever you want online. On air is completely different for some reason. It's all of a sudden causes problems. But vomit vocals. That's pretty awesome. So that's number two, and then number three. Lyrically, there has to be something of some kind of aggressive nature with the lyrics, too. And it seems like this checks the boxes with all three of those.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
totally.
I would call it thrash / death metal. And what would you call it?
I would call it technical death metal. I think that's the subgenre
technical
that this falls into. Yeah,
death metal. Yeah, and it's I liked it because it's not just all low end guitar one riff kind of thing where everybody's playing it. There's other stuff. It was like that's what when it first started. Like 10 seconds in, I was like, "Well, there's a clean guitar in there."
Yeah,
like doing something different, which is just bizarre for me sometimes to hear that. Pop.
The layers are great.
Layers are great.
And I brought another album to we're going to listen to, and what I would say is death metal.
Okay,
take the
we're getting the technical off. Okay,
we'll get to that.
So I'm gonna play a track. We're gonna kind of go back and forth here. The first song I played was "Electric Funeral" by Sabbath, off of their second effort there in 1970, "Paranoid," which is an amazing song. I mean, I love that album, and I grew up on that, and that was heavy when I was growing up. You know, there's other heavier stuff, too, obviously. I'm going to play one in a second here, but that created a lot of this stuff for me. But,
we were talking when we first walked in about, like, heavy versus heavy. I mean, Sabbath kind of started the heavy, right?
Yeah.
You know, Decapitated, it's come a long way. Let's just put it that way. You know, I don't think Black Sabbath, their heads would have been blown if they heard Decapitated back in 1972.
Oh.
You know, it was just crazy.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody would have thought about playing guitar that way.
Yeah.
And then the equipment's different, too.
Like
you try playing that on, like, a 1965 SG or something. You could do it, but if they just weren't set up that way back then, I mean, you could, but it's tough. I play Gretsch all the time, and I was trying to show somebody. Somebody was talking about Hangar 18 the other day, and I was like trying to play a bunch of Hangar 18 on the Gretsch, and it was like I could do it, part of it, but it was just really weird, and it felt wrong. It was kind of fun, though. Okay, so mid-80s rolls around, and Little Mark was very intrigued by Metallica at that point. You know, that was a big, I'm sure you were too, in that time period, right? Megadeth, Metallica, Anthrax. Were you into that stuff?
I have to admit, I was late to the game, man. I grew up on Maiden and
so you were a little
Judas Priest, and when Metallica came along, they were like what the heck? They're so fast and so, you know, it's just so different. It took me a while to come around to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know why, but.
Yeah. I guess we would call this thrash.
Totally. Like Metallica started the thrash.
Yeah, this is thrash. You know, before then, you get, it's funny because a lot of people are like Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, heavy metal. They're kind of like hard, melodic, hard yeah. rock bands.
Well, that's what they are now.
You know, you go back and listen to it, and it, that, I mean, even like, you know, Priest, you think it's so heavy, and then it's like, Living After Midnight, right. which is awesome, but exactly. it's a rock, they're a rock band.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. so, and... Maiden's a little heavier, but really, you know, it was more melodic.
That's what was available at the time. You
that's
know?
Right.
I don't know.
Okay, so we're going to...
Let's hear some Black.
Yeah, we're going to listen to Blacken, which is the first track of, you know, and maybe if you listen really closely, you can hear the bass. I don't know if this is like the remastered one or not, you know, because the whole thing with Newsted and Cliff and all that stuff and the bass, everybody complained about the bass. We're going to listen to Blacken here and then come back and check out another band here. Okay, here we go. This is one of the ones that started it all for me getting into this kind of stuff.
Never seen before, breathing nevermore, nevermore.
Oh!
It's live.
Yeah, it's it's live. It's Memorex. Oh, it's so funny. I hit the table, so it skipped, and it threw me off there. Okay, Blackened, pretty awesome. And I was just saying that solo is pretty... Hammett, to me, is one of those things where sometimes he just does the Kirk Hammett thing. And that, which is fine, but this was more interesting. This solo was pretty banging on this.
I like that one. I've always loved that song.
It's a great song. This album is really good. I mean, it's like, I'm Ride the Lightning and this one are my two favorite Metallica albums. What year did this come out? 88, 9?
Something like that.
I was in middle school when One came out. You know, that was like the big, which is funny because it's kind of, that song's good, but, you know, not the best on the album.
No.
But
it was the best video, though.
It was the best video and commercially available to put them on that was it. I mean, that broke them. Right?
Yeah.
Trying to think what else was before then. Like, they were pretty big, but when that came out, that was huge.
Yeah. They were underground for the most part, I think.
I saw them on Injustice, and I know people that were really into them and saw them on Master of Puppets and stuff like that, but it was still a pretty small production at that point, you know? And I think the first album I owned by them was Injustice. Then I went back and bought the other ones after that. And then when the Black Album came out, I saw them there, and then I got sad. and half the Black Album's good. Like, there's some good tracks.
Yeah.
Wherever I May Roam, like, that song's good. Like, there's some good songs on there.
But Sad But True.
That's a great song. But the other stuff is... And then it's just bad. And then after that, it's like, what? You know?
Yeah.
I was also really into Megadeth at that point. I was starting to get into Megadeth because even though Dave's kind of annoying, I liked Marty Friedman.
Oh, yeah. Marty's amazing.
And he's got that weird hook picking. His hands look like he's a hook. It's like, I don't even understand how he's doing it. It makes no sense to me. There's a great Beato video with him. You're talking, he just is kind of like, ooh, look what I'm doing. It's like bizarre.
It's bizarre, but I think even Marty says, I wish I hadn't learned to play this way.
Yeah, he plays this totally. He's one of those dudes. Corey Christiansen, his dad, created the Mel Bay guitar method.
Okay.
All right. And he writes all the books now. He kind of took over that company, the guitar part of it at least. And he came and gave a master class here. And he was, to my students, he was like, do not look at my right hand. Like, showing everybody stuff, because he uses just his fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he doesn't use his wrist. He doesn't use his whatever. He just uses his fingers to play really quickly. And it's the most bizarre-looking thing, and it looks so like it shouldn't work, and it works for him.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, don't do this. But it was just very funny because, you know, he's one of the guitar gurus of the world, you know, in terms of, like, pedagogy.
Wow. You know, I think that gets to a point, like, you know, I've been pursuing like a particular technique for a long time, and that finger motion that you're talking about is like a big no-no. Don't do it, you know. But I think it just proves that. Well, guitar is, I don't know how to describe it, but people come to their own way of figuring out how to play it, and it might seem like it's completely wrong for the guy next door.
That's right.
But
no, it's like watching Michelangelo. Batty, like watching him pick, it angers me, and I can't look at it. I can't look at him play.
Yeah,
like it bothers me. Like I'm like, ugh. And Randy Mirtel, are you out there listening? Because if you are, he plays his E chords, his open E chord. Not like 2-3-1, but 3-2-1. He puts his fingers backwards.
So wrong.
Oh, my God. Every time I watch him, and he knows, Randy, you know you're out there. I look at it, and I'm like, dude, I can't watch you play, man.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm looking at the computer right here, our computer, and somebody put in for their username 6-7. So ridiculous. I'm going to just ignore this on the computer, and we're going to talk about this next band here.
Yes, Black Braid.
Black Braid.
So Black Braid is... the brainchild of one particular guy. I'm not sure what his name is. He's from Troy. again, I think this is as death metal.
Okay.
It's got the same guitar stuff, but a little less technical. I got a great story how I discovered this band. I was driving back from Vermont, and we had to make a pit stop, an emergency pit stop, and we found this Mead House.
Okay.
In upstate New York, there's a house.
Sure.
And we went in there, and we're like, oh, a mead tasting. So we went for a mead tasting, and one of the meads was made for Black Parade.
And, interesting.
And the guy's like, yeah, there's this band, Black Parade. You won't like them. And I'm like, what?
You won't like them. You probably never heard of them. Yeah, right.
So, of course, I brought up my Spotify and immediately brought up. I was like, I love Black Parade.
I thought about it from the meadery. That's interesting. Was the mead good?
The mead was awesome.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had mead in, I quit drinking years ago, but when I did, I probably had mead like two or three times, because back then it was very hard to come by.
Yeah.
It seems like more of a new niche thing now.
Yeah,
like people have like their little mead thing and read their Beowulf and whatever, you know, like.
Listen to Black Parade.
Yeah, listen to Black Parade, you know. Very cool. So out of Troy, New York.
Somewhere in that way. And it's the guy is Native American, and the songs all have sort of the mysticism of those peoples, which I love. We're going to listen to The Spirit Returns.
The Spirit Returns by Black Parade off of Black Parade 2.
Yeah.
Do you know how many Black Parade albums there are?
Three.
Black Blade. Black Blade. Okay, Black Parade 2, The Spirit Returns. This is like some kind of hidden Mahavishnu album or something like that.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. We're going to check this out. I know nothing about this, although I did work in Troy for a long time at a place called Economy Furniture. This was in high school. Just letting you know about Troy. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Black Parade, and that was pretty heavy.
That was heavy.
That was heavy.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Yeah, so, okay, I could definitely see the difference between what you're calling technical metal and, or technical...
death metal.
Death metal and what's called death metal, right?
I mean, I'm no expert. I don't try to pick these things apart.
No, but it's important to... Let's label things, even though we shouldn't be labeling things, right? Let's do it for the sake of the kids. Technical death metal's for the kids. Okay.
It's a little more, I don't know, like dense. The drumming is, in that tune anyway, the drumming is just... It doesn't let up at all.
No.
You know?
No.
I think those are like hallmarks of just death metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been chatting too in between these songs and realizing that our vinyl collection in terms of this kind of material is not very deep, which is sad to me, which means I need to go out and get more. And reminds me of stuff I should own. I should own like a bunch of Meshuggah albums, and I don't.
Yeah.
And I like Meshuggah.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. I've seen them a couple times live, and I don't own any of it, and I do not know why. I also don't own any early Anthrax, and I should probably own that, too, because I enjoy it. It's not as, it is what it is, but I like it. Yeah. I still like it.
I guess I was thinking that there isn't really a source for that kind of, if you can buy it from eBay or you can buy it online, but around here, you don't often come across like a treasure trove of old metal albums.
You don't find it used.
Right,
which is where I buy most of my stuff. Exactly. Every once in a while. Well, the next track I bought actually online. I bought this album online because it was there for there was a reissue and it was cheap.
Yeah.
It was like $17.99 or something. So I generally don't buy new albums unless they're from, I go to a show and they're like a local band and I'll spend $30 on that.
Yeah.
Or if it's something that like, okay, I've been waiting for, I just bought the first De La Soul album not recently because it's awesome and I've been waiting to buy that for a while and I paid like $35 for it.
Yeah.
Because it's a re-release and it's great. Okay, but here we go. We're going to listen to some Slayer. Because Slayer's obviously important in this whole thing. And I think we're both just going to say that Slayer is thrash.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's it.
Pretty much.
One word.
Mm-hmm. Especially at this point in their career. I mean.
At this point in this career and at this point in the world, there was like heavy metal and thrash.
Yeah.
And Aerosmith, and not good air, not the good Aerosmith. Although no. Ragdoll was a good song, but
don't get me started.
And bad AC/DC too. Oh, it was like who made who was good. I guess I don't know. It's hard to say. This is a weird time for rock and roll because the hair metal thing was in full effect, too,
yep.
Or getting to full effect. And some of that was really great. I enjoyed it. Some of it was really bad. And this kind of sprung out of the Judas Priest, Iron Maiden. We were talking about that before. Like, this was the next logical step, kind of, I guess, in a way. And Ozzy kind of even bridging the gap a little bit. The Randy Rhoads coming in, and then Bark at the Moon was kind of getting heavier.
Yeah.
Well, the guitar playing, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, Ozzy's always a pretty light vocalist. You think it's, like, really heavy, but his vocals are not.
Yes, no.
They're like... Yeah.
He's a singer.
Yeah, he's a singer.
You know. But I think one of the things that the thrash brought in was, like, just not giving a you-know-what about their image, and, like, that was Metallica's whole thing. Like, we're going to go up in the clothes we just got sick on on the bus, and we're going up on stage in this, and that's what made them cool. And I think Slayer, was pretty much doing the same
thing. And pony sneakers.
Yeah.
Pony high tops.
You got to have the right sneakers.
Yeah. And the beginning of the skinny jeans. It's like pre-skinny jeans, skinny jeans.
Oh, man.
Bad. Yeah. We all looked like that. I go back and look at pictures from me. And
let's not look at pictures. Let's not.
Okay, we're going to listen to Necrophobic instead.
Yeah.
Slayer off of Rain of Blood. Here we go.
Love it.
Mind your aim.
Okay, that was awesome.
That was short. That was sweet.
Yeah, we were just talking about the solo, too, and the solo is amazing and super creative. That's also why I like Marty Friedman, too. Like, these very cool creative solos. You know, but that was a turning point for a lot of things back then. Cannibal Corpse, when did they come out? They were a little bit later, same time?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Interesting. I'll have to go back and check this out. Once again, I'm going to thank Todd for coming on this morning. He's welcome to come. We were just talking about doing, I want to do a King Diamond show because he's really in, he's like the one person I know who's like in the King Diamond. Besides that other person who lives in Iowa or something, you know, like,
yeah, there's like three King Diamond fans.
That's right. And one of them is here in the studio.
Yeah.
So, I hope everybody has a great Monday. Just kind of talking about school. We only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 plus 5 is the number 12. 12 is the magic number. 12 days of class left, actually. That's including today, which is pretty wild. Although Todd works in IT, so he's just here.
Yeah, I always chuckle when people talk about, like, yeah, the semester's almost over. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that's right. Well, at least you don't have to deal with us, right, as
that's
much,
right?
That's
true.
Yeah, we can just kind of... I saw St. Ange the other day, Justin, popped in. Is he in the same building as you?
Yeah, he's right down the hall.
He's right down the hall. Yeah, he was in the... I was like, what are you doing? They let you out of the cage or something, you know? Like, he was hanging out in the news department.
And one of the advantages of Netzer being torn down, well, not torn down, but completely renovated is we finally got out of the basement of Netzer, where our office had been down there for like 25 years.
Well, that's right. I know. It's always like, they keep in the basement. And I didn't realize, I forgot that they got you out of there, because that's what I asked him. I said, do they let you out of the shackles in the basement down there?
And they did. Like, they did.
Incredible.
It's like my joke is it's like a casino. There's no windows and there's no clock, so you don't know when to go home.
I'm going to put all my money on black. $75. That's all I got. Okay, I'm going to leave everybody with some faith. Now, this is not necessarily always just heavy, but I tell you what. When I was in high school, Faith No More came out, or at least I was privy to them at this point. And when The Real Thing came out, that was pretty cool. I was like, this is cool. This guy's a little gimmicky, Patton. And I think with that album is fun, but Angel Dust is awesome. And it's a really, really, really great album. I think it's their best album. And they basically were told the record label, no, we're just going to do what we want this time, because The Real Thing had a lot of stuff that the record label wanted them to do. So there were these kind of like, fall into pieces, like these kind of like,
Maybe you can get a hit.
Yeah, Epic, which is their biggest hit, but they don't even like that song. Yeah. You know, like,
I don't even like that song.
No, nobody likes that song. But I tell you, Angel Dust is an amazing album, and I'm going to play the second song off this. It's called Caffeine, and it's pretty heavy, and it's pretty awesome. Everybody have a wonderful day, and I will see you tomorrow morning. What's in your pocket? DJ Nosfer Mark II, Basement of Hunt Union, keeping Red Dragon Radio locked forever. Death metal.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Welcome.
number one song in Bikini Bottom, Electric Zoo.
Hey, that's pretty catchy.
You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta, the best radio station in all of Bikini Bottom. Don't touch that dial, keep it locked.
I love this young people's music.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I want to share with you the experience of Donna in Washington. She writes, I got injured about 5 years ago. I was let go when, because of the injury, I couldn't keep up with my schedule. I've tried to find other work, but I'm 68 now. No one wants to hire someone that old. This week is tough, though, because